Newly elected Tauranga MP Sam Uffendale came under scrutiny last month after staff revealed he'd been involved in a serious assault on a 13-year-old boy when he was a student at King's College. Later, his female flatmate from when he was in Otago University came forward with allegations of threatening and abusive behaviour. He was suspended from caucus while an independent inquiry by King's Counsel Maria Dew took place. Yesterday, National announced the findings of the investigation. Besides the King's College incident, the other bullying allegations were unsubstantiated. For more on this, I spoke to Dr. Lara Greaves, a political commentator from the University of Auckland. What do you make of Christopher Luxon refusing to provide an executive summary of the investigation or go into any details?
The executive summary one is a really tricky thing there, because in the past political parties have provided the executive summary. There are huge privacy concerns around actually releasing the report itself, because New Zealand is pretty small and it's pretty easy to figure out who's who and what's gone down in that case. The executive summary is a harder one to kind of push back on. I'm not sure exactly. I guess it's one of those things where this is a bit of what we would kind of call a beltway or political insider type issue that probably doesn't matter too much to voters overall. The main challenge, I think, for Luxon and all of this is showing that the party is renewed and that he's got a really good handle on everything. So it's probably more a risk minimisation strategy rather than anything else.
Speaking of minimisation strategies, he's copped a bit of flack for choosing to drop this announcement the day of the Queen's funeral. Mm. Was this strategic?
So basically in first year New Zealand politics, and whenever you're teaching media politics, you kind of talk about the whole Friday afternoon document dump, and it's a real classic. And so we kind of see this as, it's a classic political strategy, a classic public relations strategy, to release something when a large world event is going on or when people are otherwise distracted. And we can see where people would be suspicious about that, because the report has taken longer than was initially expected to come out. Again, whether it's an explicit strategy or not, I guess you'd have to ask them, and I'm sure that they would vehemently deny it, but this is a real classic thing that people do, and it does mean that, you know, the media attention has already gone away from this. So I can see the criticisms and the arguments for this, definitely.
You mentioned that voters might not care about this. Do you think, could you elaborate on, what kind of issues would pique the voters' attention?
Okay, so fundamentally, when we do see these kind of scandals, we actually don't see a huge amount of movement in the polls. The counterfactual to that would be the Matiria Ture and Green Party fallout around 2017, but generally we don't see a lot of movement. And so really what it comes down to is it's about the moral authority for Christopher Luxon to stand on the debate stage in 2023 and say that he's a good manager of people and that the party is a renewed party and has a sort of new drive and new candidate selection processes and new internal processes. So that's really what this is about. It's more about politicians and political leaders as managers of people rather than those sort of day-to-day issues that affect the electorate. You know, most people vote on the economy, vote on health, vote on different sort of large policy issues, rather than is the person a good people manager. But overall, it's just really what is the picture of Christopher Luxon, because it's really hard to come up against a two-term government and try to defeat them. So that's really, it's really about building for the 2023 election. The whole sort of brand or identity of Christopher Luxon is someone who can manage people, and this is really what this is an issue about.
In terms of kind of leadership and management, how has the response to the scandal, if you will, compared to the Gaurav Sharma one a few weeks ago?
So the Gaurav Sharma one, I think really what had happened is at a point Labor had just let it run its course, because, in the adrenaline of the moment, Dr. Sharma was looking less and less sort of rational and planned out and logical. And so I think that it was a particular strategy to let Dr. Sharma kind of unravel a little bit and have him sort of not present evidence and that all that back and forth. Fortunately for Labor, that's all died down for the time being at least. But I think that the things in the scandal were different here, and different because it's also involving past behaviour in the case of Sam Uffendale, and really starts to speak to who should and shouldn't be an MP and what needs to be in your past and what you need to do as retribution for that or in recompense for that. So there's just different issues at play here and different ways of dealing with it. This is more around National Party processes. So parties have a lot more say around what they do and how they select candidates. That's their internal processes to the party, and that's different from something being part of parliamentary services. So the Gaurav Sharma scandal was a lot to do with parliamentary staffing, which is handled by parliamentary services rather than the parties themselves. So there are a few different things there, but ultimately I think for most people, it just kind of, they look at these kind of things and go, ooh, politics, yuck. So it's sad that we're talking about, you know, the behaviour of different people and bullying at this point, really.
Mm. Finally, I guess in his maiden speech after being elected, Sam Ufendale promised to be tough on crime, as many National MPs tend to do, now that he's been reinstated to caucus with all of his former responsibilities. Do you see this bullying saga having any impact on his views on, I guess, youth crime, second chances? He alluded to this in yesterday's announcement, but that could maybe all be hot air. What's your take on this ahead of next year's election?
Well, it's hard because Ufendale's one person, and he's a person who now it's kind of hard to tell what exactly is going to happen with his career. So one kind of traditional way of thinking was that he'd be managed out, but we're a year away from the election, so they would need to be starting the candidate selection process in Pōuranga about now for that to happen, and we don't really see any kind of rumblings of that. So it's not clear what's going to happen to his career because, well, people always view him as the guy where there was the bullying and he went to King's College and he did this and that and there was the flatmate. Or will he be able to, like, move on from this and really kind of refocus? It's hard because now, no matter what he does, people will go, oh, well, you're only doing that because of politics. You're not doing that because that's your moral position. So it's hard to see what the path forward is for him and the path forward in terms of, like, yeah, where he's going to sit on politics and policy, because any U-turn that he now makes on his views on crime and youth crime and offending and gangs are going to look like it's been motivated by his own brand identity and scandal. So he's in a really, really sticky, tricky position to try to figure out how you rebuild a political career. And I just don't know how you would necessarily do that in his position.
That was political commentator Dr. Lara Greaves speaking to me about the outcome of the Sam Ufendale bullying investigation.